want to give him a praise this morning like he really needs it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You're so kind. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 7 through 9. Yes. Sermon that is titled, Learning to Live With It.
Hallelujah.
In life, we all have some things. Some things, more than one, more than two, more than five. We have lots of things that we've been asking God for and or to do. And in spite of us asking God for those things and to do these things, God has not moved in your life yet. The same struggles that you had 20 years ago are some of the same struggles that you have today. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to listen to people, and people will tell you that the only reason you're struggling with the same things is because something is wrong with you. They'll do the Job friend thing on you and tell you it must be something going on behind closed doors. But how many of you know that you can pray and ask God for something, and God never shows up the way that you instruct Him to show up? I count that a blessing, because the truth of the matter is, if God has shown up every time I ask Him to show up in the way that I told Him to, I would be in trouble. The truth of the matter is, I don't know what I need because I don't know where God is taking me. So if I can't see up the road, how can I direct God?
Amen.
To step in my life.
Amen.
At some juncture, we have to take a step back and say, Lord, have your way with me. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you.
Yes.
Because you trust God, we understand that wheresoever God leads us to, there we must follow. And when we get there, there's a blessing that is waiting for us right there, because God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if God is walking with you, He's right there. He'll never at some juncture say, that's enough, I gotta step aside. So when God says, I'm going to start something in your life, the alpha of your life, you must understand He is also the omega of your life, which means whatever He begins, He's big and bad enough to end the thing. So you just got to walk with Him and trust Him. So sometimes God will allow these things in our lives. And as God begins to allow these things in our lives, we pray and ask God for something. God quite often will whisper to us, my grace is sufficient. Beautiful words. Thank you, Lord, for sharing. But in the midst of going through something, while I want your grace, I also want to pay the mortgage. While I want your grace, I also want to be delivered from loneliness. While I want your grace, I also want an understanding of what's going on. See, at the same time, we're petitioning, asking God for something in the spirit, but in the natural, we have needs. We have fears. And so we're asking God to comfort us. Now, the comfort that God gives us is not necessarily the comfort that we need. What we want is for God to protect us from everything. How could you ever grow if God never allowed you to be stretched? How would you know that God is a doctor in the sick room if you never find yourself sick? How do you know that God will supply all of your needs if you never find yourself in need of anything? So sometimes God has to allow your weakness to come upon you so that we can see His strength. And seeing God's strength, it makes us not depend on our own job, own checkbook, own age and our youth and our health, but it makes us lean and depend on Him. When we begin to lean and depend on God, you better believe that that Satan is going to come after you. See, we sometimes live in a world where we think that the devil no longer exists. We forget that we're fighting against these superpowers and these demonic powers. You see, and those demonic powers will always attack the way that God wants you to go.
Yes.
And so Satan comes in your life and Satan begins to attack you. Paul says, I prayed about something three times. And he says, Satan began to buffet me. Buffet, he means he begins to punch. I love boxing. You know that. And so when you're boxing, you're aiming at something particular. When Satan hits you, he's aiming at something particular. He's not just swinging just to see what he hits. He knows how to hit you because you told your friends where you're vulnerable. He knows where to hit you because you told your friends what you are afraid of. And so what he does is he takes aim and he hits you where it hurts because he's upset with you as he was upset with Paul or then Saul, because one time Saul was the devil's greatest cheerleader. Oh, you remember when you were in the club? You were his greatest cheerleader. You remember when you were slinging rocks out there? You were his greatest cheerleader. You remember when you were doing your thing, jumping from this rock to the next rock? You were his greatest cheerleader. And then one day, God stepped into your life, and God denasked you, stripped you of you, and said, now turn and go this way for me. And when you begin to follow God, Satan really got upset with you. And so you're wondering why things are worse today than they were when you were in the club. Because while you're in the club, he had no issues with you. He liked you. He loved you as much as you love your sins. See, we don't say that sometimes, but the only thing that stops us from backing away from our sins is that we like it.
That's true.
That's true.
We come to church and we get real holy. We come to church and we act like we're not struggling with anything. If it had not been for the grace of God, if I can just unload just a little bit, not what was going on in my life on yesterday, I'm talking about some stuff I'm dealing with this morning. If you would just be honest about yourself and just tell some stuff you're dealing with while you're sitting in church, while your mind is still on somebody else from last night or on something from last night, if it had not been for the Lord that was protecting you and putting that hedge around you, you would have lost your mind as well. So we need to learn to say, God, you know, this is my weakness. This is where I am. I know where I am, but I also know the power of God.
Yes.
When we learn the power of God, then we can step back and allow God to do his thing. Now, Paul finds himself in a strange place because Paul was this man that people viewed as being this big, strong person in this great position. The truth of the matter is, someone described Paul as being bald and bow-legged. Sometimes what you see in a person is not that person. Sometimes you can look at a person and you can try to size a person up based off their appearance.
All right.
You have no idea about the God nor the faith that is inside of them. We have to learn to be patient with people. We look at people, we pass judgment on people. And Paul is saying, you can look at me and you can pass judgment on me based off what I appear to be, but you don't know anything about the relationship of the God that I'm serving. That's why you sometimes find yourself going through life seeing a person who looked like they should be out in the first round, but they're still standing. Because what they're smart enough to do, wise enough to do, is to lean and depend on God. That's why you going through some stuff and people sized you based off what you're looking, but you still standing. And they said about you that you're nothing, you're powerless, and you have nothing going on. But the relationship that you have with God is the relationship that keeps you standing.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
writes a letter. Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth, and he says to them, listen, I know that you have a perception of me. I know you view me in one way. So he says in verse number 6, he says, but I'm not crazy. I'm not going to boast because you think I'm the apostle, because you think I'm some great man. He said, that means absolutely nothing to me. He says, what I give God the glory for is my infirmities. In other words, he says, I understand that it is my weakness that makes God show up in my life.
Amen.
It is my weakness that makes God show up in my life. See, when you're looking, or when you begin to look at someone else, God is saying, don't look there. You got to look at the God in the person. When God tells us to look at the God in the person, what God is implying is that I created you in my image. And because I created you in my image, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul was saying, you look at me and I have some handicaps. I have some issues, but that's not who I am. He says, when you look at me, I need for you to understand that I have some thorns in my side. I need for you to understand that the thorns that he has in his side is some stuff that's always pointing to him. Now, a thorn is something that is sharp. It's something that is always pointing you. And when we begin to go through life, there's always some stuff that's pointing us. There's always some people that point your stuff out. In the midst of going through something, someone always wants to point out where you've been, what you did, who you used to be. And you're crazy enough to believe that that's still who you are. And so what God is trying to do is God is trying to move us beyond what other people think and to the place where we can see him. And so God allows things to come. He allows Satan to buffet us, to hit us, so that we don't think too highly of ourselves. He checks our ego. When God checks your ego, he brings you into humility. When he brings you into humility, then you can serve him because you understand that I may be weak, but the God that I serve, he's strong. I may not have, but the God that I serve, he'll supply all of my needs. So I have thorns. You know what thorns are.
Yeah.
And so you have to excuse it because I braided it and Charles Hill put the thorns in it. But sometimes in life, as we begin to go through things, and we think that we're delivered from something. Because I used to go to the club and I used to get drunk. But I don't do that anymore. And every now and then, the thing that you don't do anymore is the very thing that steps up and sticks you again. See, sometimes we think that we're delivered from something, and God is saying, no, baby, that's your thorn right there. Every now and then, he'll allow something to stick you that you thought you were beyond. You remember you got caught tied up in that relationship, and God is saying, you're not free from it yet. Every now and then, somebody will bring it up and say, you remember what she used to do? You remember she used to be a prostitute, and so that thing come back and it sticks you again. See, in life we have lots of things that keep us tied up. And not only does it keep us tied up, it seems like the thing is braided all together and we just can't get out of it. Do you have some stuff in your life this morning that you just can't break? Do you have some stuff in your life? If all it took was power, you could do it. But the Bible declares that anything that is braided thrice, three times, it's not easily broken. So Satan takes you, and he takes some stuff in your life, and he braids it 3, 4, 9 times. And so here you are trapped in your stuff. And not only are you trapped in your stuff, but everybody sees the stuff that you're trapped in. Isn't it something to be going through something and other folks see what you going through? Isn't it something to be going through something when church folks says, let me pray for you, but instead of praying for you, they put your business in the street? Isn't it something to be going through something when family and friends know your business and they release your stuff in the street? Isn't it something to be caught up in your own mess? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when the God that you're praying to will not deliver you from the stuff that you caught up in? What do you do when you call and you say, God, I need deliverance, and he says something super holy to you? My grace is sufficient. Can I tell Georgia Power that your grace is sufficient? Can I tell AT&T that your grace is sufficient? Can I tell this medical doctor and these bills that your grace is sufficient? And he says, certainly. Certainly. Paul says, I have a thorn that is just buffeting me. In other words, what he is saying to you and I is that there's some stuff in your life you might as well learn to live with it. It doesn't cancel out your faith, doesn't cancel out your belief in God, but there's some stuff in your life that is going to never go away. And that same stuff that is going to never go away will be the sins that will forever follow you. Listen, let nobody tell you the only reason it doesn't go away is because you are a sinner. No, baby, I may sin, but I'm not a sinner. See, I may fall short, but I got a Savior that I can run to the altar and I can cast all my cares off. I got a Savior that he can rescue me. I got a Savior that he has the delivering power. And so Paul is saying there's some things in your life that will never leave you. And then he says, you know what? He says, I petition. I prayed to God three times. And God did absolutely nothing. Watch this. Sometimes what you wish for is not God's will.
Well,
what he wished for was for the thorn to go away, but it wasn't God's will. Sometimes what you asking God for, the thing that you think is weakness, is indeed the very place that God is going to use for you to be a ministry. It's the very thing that you don't like that God is going to lead somebody to Christ with. You've been complaining about a sickness and you've been talking about it, and God is saying, I'm going to use that sickness to bring somebody to Christ. You've been complaining about your bills, but every month you're still eating and every month you're still meeting, and God is saying, I'm going to use that very thing to bring somebody to Christ. Baby, you got to learn to live with some stuff in life. Everything is not going to be peaches and cream, but the God that we serve, he is a delivering God. And when God shows up, God can get you out of anything. Now, sometimes when God, who's a spirit, delivers you, he doesn't necessarily deliver your body. He'll just bring your spirit out. When God brings your spirit out, I don't care about where I am. It is well with my soul. You can tie me up, put me in bankruptcy, put me where you want, but it is well with my soul. Because where the spirit is, there's liberty. I found my spirit. I found my liberty. I found my joy. My joy is in Jesus, not in my situation, not in my circumstance. So I don't care what I'm going through, because God says, I'll deliver you. I don't care how it feels, because God says, I'm going to bring you through. But he says, now wait a minute. He says, every now and then, he says, I'm going to bring something up in your life. I know you thought you were done with that chapter. I know you thought she was a thing of the past, or he was a thing of the past, or here it is 8 years later, and the same bill you didn't pay then, it pops up again, and you say, where did that come from? And God is saying to you, peace, be still. I allow you to walk on that path. I allow you to get over that path. Peace, be still. I know you thought you were free from some stuff, but every now and then in your life, when it pops up, God is saying, don't you worry. He says, I got you. Don't worry about it. He says, the winds and the waves. In other words, the rumors and the lies. He said, I need for you to trust me because I am your battle line. I am your shelter. I'll fight your battles. I'll make a way out of your way. Have you ever tried God? Have you ever been going through something and all your friends walked away and you found nobody on your side? Have you ever been going through something and everybody talked about you and everybody laughed at you and everybody said you were stuck right there? But when they begin to talk, they begin to look at your weakness, and God says, that's exactly where I want you to be. Because in your weakness, that's my strength right now, baby. Let me show you what I can do. I'm glad they knocked you down so I can stab at you. I'm glad they put you on your back so I can get you up. Now when I deliver you, all I want you to do is give me some praise. You don't have to pay me back. Just give me some praise. If God has done anything for you, God will give me some praise this morning. God. When you begin to praise God, the Bible declares that God shows up. And when God shows up in your praise, he says, boy, I hear you talking to me. Girl, I hear you. You know how to tap into that thing. You tap into one thing, and that is, I'm never too busy. You got me on the main line. Go ahead and tell me what you want. If you need healing, go ahead and tell me what you want. If you need finances, tell me what you want. When you step into an atmosphere, an atmosphere that is charged like this, he says, where two or three is gathered together in my name. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I'll do it. I dare you to try this morning. He'll do it. I dare you to try this morning. Because God will do it. So why are you praising him this morning? Go ahead and ask him for it. Go ahead and watch God do it. Now, when God begins to do a thing for you, he may not do it the way that you thought he was. But even though he may not show up right then, God sometimes says, listen, my grace is sufficient. In other words, my grace is going to get you through. But I need for you to wait on me because I know where I'm taking you. So sometimes I want people to tell a lot of lies on you. I want them to embarrass you so that when he brings you, they'll know that you were anointed all along. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. They didn't know who you was when they was messing with you. Jesus was hanging on the cross and he says, if they would have knew who I was, they never would have did it. If your haters would have knew who you was, they never would have lied on you. If your haters would have knew who you was, they never would have talked about you. If your haters would have knew who you was, they never. But they know who you are. They know who you are. And so God allows you to go through something. In the midst of going through something, and you feel so weak, he said, no, baby, right there, I'm strong. He says, when you feel so weak, he says, just turn it over to me. He says, you want to perfect my strength? He says, give it to me. But God, I can't right here. I got to hold on to this. He says, the only thing you need to hold on to is my unchanging hand. Have you been blessed today?